Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Now, welcome everybody. Good to have you with us tonight. Welcome to the community of faith, to another evening of establishing your faith. We have been here now for 2 years doing the work that God's given us to do, and we're glad you're with us. Share it with all your friends, your family, your Romans, your countrymen, all the peasants and paupers, all the royalties, the king, everybody you know, share it with them and say, all y'all come by and see us now, you hear? Just like Brother Roger says, y'all come back now, you hear? And it'll be a blessing to you and to us. Here's what's going to go on tonight. We're going to start out with prayer like we do, and it's actually a prayer confession where we speak over the nation, speak over the church, the body of Christ, the nation itself, speak over our brothers and sisters around the world, and then we will go from that into a teaching tonight. Sister Mary Pastorek asked a question earlier in the week. We kind of dealt with it then. I'm going to deal with it a little bit. But tonight we're going to talk about what was going on in Jesus' world 2,000 years ago, right now today, for Jesus. Now, what's interesting about this, and I'm going to say this to encourage you, make sure if you go to the internet to study anything anymore, that you're going to a credible source. Because I looked up the timeline for Holy Week, and there was just some stuff there that was not a Christian site telling us about our Lord and Savior Jesus. And if their eyes have not been opened to the truth and they're still blinded, I wouldn't go to them for any kind of spiritual understanding. And now that we've all witnessed COVID, where the government and medical leaders have told us that we had to follow and be in our homes and do all the stupid stuff they said that was absolutely unnecessary, I wouldn't trust what you see on the internet now. You got to go on a couple levels more and just say, wait a minute, who is this person that's giving me this piece of information? And what gives them any kind of credibility to be able to tell me that? Yeah. Why? There's homosexuals that have rewritten the Bible to say that that is normal and that that is okay in God, and that's not. And so I'm just throwing that out there right now to say, no matter where you are, no matter what you're looking for, make sure it's a credible source that you would trust your life with.
Yeah.
And if it's not, then take everything they say with a grain of salt. And really, in my book, I'm now judging everything by how people spoke about COVID. I'm going to make a lot of judgments in my life about, wait, what did you think about COVID? What did you tell me I had to do with my life? Oh, you're going to allow force you to say what you don't even believe? Now you want me to believe you? No, I ain't going to go there. And I'm not going to trust you as a trusted source. Let's just stop that right now before we even get into it. Or did we already get into it?
We already did, but it's all right.
Should we still stop or keep going?
Let's pray.
All right. I have now been given the instructions of what to do next. All of you who are married, please learn something from me to follow your wife's instruction.
Amen.
I concur with Leanne.
Welcome, Blog Talk Radio, and all of our friends around the world, wherever you may be. We are glad to have you with us. 32 nations, the last time we looked, are streaming with us. And I would say we're probably at about 40 nations that have streamed with us at one time, even though they may not be with us live right now. And wherever you may be, you know, my figures only show up to see the nation you're in when there's 1% of you that are actually a viewing audience. So there's probably many more nations that are with us. And I just keep encouraging you. Send us an email. Send us an instant message. Send us a postcard, P.O. Box 4315, Williston, North Dakota, 58802. Let us know where you're listening from, because it'd be an encouragement to everyone. And we want to put our faith with you and your nation in Jesus' mighty name. You know, I think it's pretty cool that you and I have listened to God effectively enough and been faithful to our stewardship here, that God has actually trusted us with this mission. And not only has he trusted us, he's blessed us in this mission. And thank you, Father, for your blessing on our lives every day. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. There it goes. For your blessing on our lives every day. So here we go. Everybody. Here we go. Rise together with me. We'll make our pledge of allegiance and honor the families of the fallen. Render your honor. Let's make our pledge of allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And now we'll have a moment of silence as we remember those who are missing in action, those who have paid the last full measure of devotion, those who today bear the scars of combat in their spirit, their soul, and in their body. This moment of silence is in honor of every family of the fallen who will somewhere, someday, today or other days, stand in honor of their loved one's life lived and service rendered. This moment of silence will last for 21 seconds in honor of the 21 rifle volleys that are fired at the funeral of a fallen soldier. This moment of silence begins now. Now, Will, join me singing God Bless America. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountain to the prairie, to the ocean, white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet. And now, let's begin with our opening prayer that we pray every night. Now, this wasn't written from some organization that sent me to pray it. This is a prayer that God gave me as I was praying of how to lead us in prayer. I like this. Because this is straight from the Father for you and me. Pray this with us. Father, we pray this prayer and make this declaration as your children, the heirs of God, as the body of Christ filled with the fullness of God, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, by the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, we, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry that believers' lives will be changed forever and that glory and honor may be brought to your kingdom through our influence today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. And now our theme for the year. Everybody with us? 2022. I am rewarding you. I am quick, and my reward is with me. You will see many answers that come to you quickly. I am the God of answers and the God of thee immediately. Revelation 22:12-14.
And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work.
I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I am the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through gates into the city. And now our April verse of the month. There is great reward in walking in the word. Psalm 19:11. Moreover, by the word your servant is warned, and in keeping the word, there is great reward. I'm going to get this frog yet. Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11. The word of the Lord changes our whole life. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple.
The statutes of the Lord are right,
rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yet than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Say it with me. I receive
I receive
all the reward you have for me.
All the reward you have for me, Lord.
I receive it.
Amen.
Matter of fact, let's take another step. Say this with me. Reward me in every way.
Reward me in every way.
That I have earned a reward.
That I have earned a reward.
Because a reward, you earn it.
Amen.
Right?
Yep.
Now, your inheritance, that just comes to you. This commanded blessing we're getting ready to read right now, that's because you and I dwell together in unity. Now, if you don't dwell together in unity and you're not a peaceful person in the assembly, well, you might not get that commanded blessing. So we encourage all y'all to be peaceful.
Amen.
Here we go. Psalm 133:1-3.
Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for us brethren to dwell together in unity.
It is the precious oil running down on the edge of its garment.
It is like the dew of Hermon
descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commands the blessing,
life forevermore.
And now, the unity in the body of Christ. Now, Father, right now in Jesus' name, we bless every church in the United States of America and around the world that meet right now.
Yes.
We add our faith to their faith that says, building your church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Build your church tonight, Jesus. May there be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Even in the corrupt churches, may shaking in the house of God start.
Amen.
And people be transformed in Jesus' mighty name. I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling in which you were called, with all lowliness
and gentleness,
with long-suffering, bearing with one another, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in a bond of peace. There is one body
and one Spirit,
just as we were called in one hope of our calling.
One Lord, one faith,
one baptism,
one God and Father of all,
who is above all,
and through all,
and in us all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And now, the fivefold ministry and the body of Christ working together. Say this with me. This is where I shine. Well, let's have everybody say that. This is where I shine.
This is where
we shine. Because it's not just the fivefold ministry. It's also the body of Christ.
Yeah. Amen.
And Jesus himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. That we may be filled with all the fullness of God. Don't you love the fact that we get to be filled with all the fullness of God? Now, if you're streaming with us, you might say, I hear voices besides you, Pastor. Yeah, we've got some Zoomers on the backside of this thing that are our closest friends and partners. And they kick their mic on and say things like this with us. And I like it when that happens because it's as if we were sitting in a big church all together. And we're all over the whole world right now. Here we go, verse 14. So that we will no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth on the body for the edifying of itself in love. I bring my gift and my supply to this body of believers today. Use me to be a blessing to others, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen, Mary, sitting in a big church.
Amen. Yeah, that's a big church. This is a worldwide
Hi,
church. Hi, Mary. Welcome. Glad to have you with us tonight. Brother Roger, Brother Dan, Andrea Flanagan. Glad to have you with us, Andrea Flanagan. God bless you, ma'am. Wherever you're from, we bless you. You sound Irish.
Oh, it does sound very Irish. Very Irish.
Now, we pray right now for our government, the national and the state and local. We bless the executive branch. And we say revival in the executive
revival
branch.
Revival in the executive
we
branch.
We bless the judicial branch. And we say revival in the judicial branch. We bless the legislative branch. And we say, may there be revival in the legislative branch. Bless our peacemakers, wherever they may be around the world. Bless every family of the fallen, whether military, whether the police, fire, rescue, preachers, missionaries, bless the families of the fallen who gave their life in duty to this great nation in any way, in Jesus' mighty name. And now, here we go. We join the voices of every great prayer warrior, patriot warrior, passionate patriot of this great nation, and we declare, God bless America. God bless America. And now, join with us as we speak these words from the Declaration of Independence and the Patriot Prayer of Dedication. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And now, the Patriot Prayer of Dedication. Now, you might have never heard all of this before. If you're new to us, that's okay. I encourage you to look at it and to realize this has come to us by the leadership of the Holy Spirit to pray for this great nation. And this is what we've prayed all the way through the pandemic.
Yeah.
And look at God's done. When you listen to what I was saying and these couple of times when we played and replayed the messages from 2020, and you heard what we were saying then with the best of our information, and then we look back at it today, you can just look back and shake your head and say, liar, liar, pants on fire.
Yeah.
because there was a whole bunch of politicians lying through their teeth. But see, these words of Abraham Lincoln, these words are true blue. And when we say them, we draw a seamless line of intercession and faith and prayer from where we are today all the way back to Abraham Lincoln in November of 1863. And we just say, make it right, Father.
Amen.
Make it right. He's guided us all the way since 1863 to 2022, and he's not going to stop now.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Wait, how many years is that? That's 159 years, right? 100 years would have been 1963.
Yep.
Yep. Somebody just entered there. It dinged. Here we go. Pray this with us. Father, help us, the living, to be dedicated to the unfinished work which these fought for and so nobly advanced. Help us be dedicated to the great task that remains before us, that from these honored fallen,
we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave
that last full measure of devotion. We highly resolve that these shall not have fallen in vain. We declare this nation under God is experiencing a new birth of freedom right here, right now, today. We declare this government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth. Long will our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us, Lord, by thy great might, great God, our King. Forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. We seek your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. And amen. Well, you know, that's when I normally end, but I can hear the Holy Spirit, so let's just do one more thing here.
All right.
All right. Let's bless our brothers and sisters around the world.
Oh, yeah.
Some of them are already into Sunday in their nation, and it's Palm Sunday, so all over the world people will be rejoicing and celebrating, and they'll be doing the work that God gives them to do. And so let's pray for them now. Now, I'm going to pray, and then we'll name their names. Father, in the name of Jesus, all over the world, we know that Brother Julian, Sister Vimala, they are in church right now, all over. You know, in their time, it's just church there. And so, Father, we bless them right now. We bless their church services. All of our brothers and sisters around the world that are actually in Palm Sunday already, we ask now, Jesus, for your hand of blessing, for the powerful flow of the Holy Spirit into their services, Lord. May their worship be glorifying to you. May they honor you and glorify your name, Jesus. And may the hand of God be in every one of our ministries, every denomination. May lives be changed forever. May bad church leaders decide to get right now. May people that are in churches that are a mess, may they get out of them and get into a good church, Jesus.
Amen.
We know that Peter said that the shaken begins in the house of the Lord. And if that's the case, shake away, Lord, and help us all. Help us all to be true blue believers. In the mighty name of Jesus, may the power of the Holy Spirit flow freely all over the world now. In Jesus' mighty name. Here we go. Let's name the names of these our brothers and sisters. in Australia, Afghanistan, Albania, Algeria, Azerbaijan, Bahrain, Bangladesh, Benin, Bhutan, Brunei, Burkina Faso, Cambodia, Chad, China, Djibouti, East Timor, Egypt, Eritrea, Ethiopia, Gambia, Guinea-Bissau, Hong Kong, India, Indonesia, Iran, Iraq, Israel, Japan, Jordan, Kazakhstan, North Korea, Kuwait, Kyrgyzstan, Laos, Lebanon, Libya. Don't you love saying these names? I claim a believer in every one of these nations that follows us. Amen?
Amen.
Macau, Malaysia, Maldives, Mali, Mauritania, Mongolia, Morocco, Myanmar, Burma, Nepal, Niger, Nigeria, Oman, Pakistan, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Senegal, Somalia, Sri Lanka, Sudan, Syria, Taiwan, Tajikistan, Thailand, Tunisia, Turkey, Turkmenistan, United Arab Emirates, Uzbekistan, Vietnam, West Bank, Gaza, Western Sahara, and Yemen. Now, what you got to realize is you just stood in the gap. You just made up the hedge. You were just a powerful believer for these people. And you sowed a seed. And Jesus said, everyone that gives up father, mother, sister, other houses and lands for my sake and the gospel will in this lifetime reap a hundredfold return. You're being a reaper right now and a blesser.
Amen.
So be strong in your blessing when we bless like this. Julie Rouse, welcome. Good to have you with us, man.
Hi, Julie.
And now let's go to this one. I heard the Father say, let's read this one. I like it when you can say, I heard the Father say.
Yeah, yeah.
I truly want, I will have this mastered in my life. And Brother Copeland said in the beginning of the conference this week, he said, when you see the Super Bowl, you see people who are the most excellent at the basics in the whole world. And that's what the Super Bowl is. That's what the, you know, at the what you call it, the playoffs for the NBA or whatever, the NCAA championship just happened. Or it even might still be happening. I don't know. Anyways, the idea is you see those who have mastered the basics. And let's you and I master the basics of faith and be known as masters of faith around the world.
Amen.
Not out of pride, but out of the determination to do the work of God.
Yeah.
Amen. Here we go. Pray this. You're making a prayer, but you're proclaiming as an ambassador these declarations we're making right now. We take our places as the Lord's house, established in the top of the mountain of influence. And we now repossess every nation and kingdom, every land,
and
all wealth to the uttermost parts of the earth for the glory of God. Isaiah 2:2. And it shall come to pass in the last day that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. Matthew 6:10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We establish the culture of the kingdom of God and drive out every enemy and adversary opposing God's people. Now, you might say, Pastor, can we actually do that? Yeah, we are assigned to do that by God. Number three, may the Lord execute vengeance against every wicked agent who dares to attack the righteous. In the name of Jesus, we are reclaiming all ground for the Lord. We are advancing in force, clothed in the armor of God. We have on the helmet of salvation,
the
breastplate of righteousness. Our loins are girded with truth, and our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We take the shield of faith and quench all the fiery darts of the wicked.
And we
wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. In the name of Jesus, we bind and cast under our feet all spirits of deception sent to nullify our faith or our kingdom impact on this earth. Amen. And amen and amen. Now, what time we got? Oh, I got to get started. As you guys know, I got more confession we can say. I am going to, we'll go ahead and finish there at that one. Father, in Jesus' name, we have spoken these prayers in faith to believe and stand with our brothers. Bible says, I believe and therefore I speak. And so we believe and therefore we speak right now our faith. And we know that you have taken those prayers we've just prayed, which is the holy word of God, and truly began to do the work that you are continually doing, the work which you have chosen to do around the world in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Well, welcome everybody. Kathy, Angaroni, Mary Pastorick, Sunday, Brother Roger, Brother Dan, Sister Gwen, Audrey, Tony, Sister Francetta, Sister Christine,
yes.
Sister Leanne, and all y'all, Julie Rouse, Dusty Berbecki. Welcome, brother. Good to have you with us tonight over there. Tonight, hey, man, I'm glad you're my friend and partner. I know you're always in my corner, Dustin. It's good to have you with us. And I'm like you. I'm thoroughly enjoying this study as we read through this Bible. Brother Dusty's one of our regular listeners over on Read the Word. And I'm telling you, if you're not hooked up to Read the Word yet, get hooked now, because we're now going to have, we are in what, the seventh book of the Bible, five, six, seven, eighth book of the Bible, ninth? In this ninth and tenth book of the Bible, we're going to put all of the Old Testament into these next, actually four books, 1st and 2nd Samuel and 1st and 2nd Kings. Everything the prophets said, all the Psalms are going to be in there, the Proverbs are going to be in there, the major prophets, the minor prophets, and it's all going to be right in the middle of this. And I think it's in two more days or something, we're going to have five Psalms. That's going to be our reading for the night, because obvious that was something that David was saying in some part of his life. And if you haven't seen how majestic the word is yet, then you just stick around, because this is going to be pretty amazing in Jesus' mighty name. Now, we're going to go tonight to studying what was going on in Jesus' life in the last week of his life. Now, I went to the internet today, and I searched this, all right? And I was hoping for a really, really nice picture that I could put up, everybody could see. And I got to tell you, I was not impressed with Google in any sense of any word at all. You failed, Google. But you're corrupt and you're wicked, so of course you're going to fail me when I ask you to do something righteous. Put a fire on the inside of me to say, well, then we got to get us a righteous Google. Or
Amen.
Turn Google into the hands of the righteous, Father.
Yes.
Now, I don't know what you think about the CIA's name from Tesla.
Yeah.
he's so far from where I'm at in my teaching tonight. But anyways, he bought controlling stock in Twitter this last month, a month ago. And he bought it when Twitter silenced the mouth of the Babylon Bee. Now, if you've never been viewed any of Babylon Bee's material, then you're missing the fun of a Christian organization mocking the world, but doing it in all fun. Babylon Bee is a good site. Now, it's satire, so don't go there and say, oh my God, did it really happen?
Yeah.
All right? Because it's all fun, but they're Christian people. Well, some of them are. But anyways, he bought controlling interest in Twitter to say, you better stop. Because if you're the richest man in the world, you can do that.
Yeah.
Amen? And I want you to say this. You and I have been praying, God, turn the money from the rich people in the world into the church. Well, if he's really that serious about standing up for the church, somebody ought to shout glory, hallelujah. And may he, I don't know, you know, I can hear people say, do you think he's a Christian?
Well, we're not sure, but he's supporting them at
well,
this point. So.
We are not sure, but this is what we do know. We do know that God has the ability to move whoever God wants to move. And if we'll just go ahead and let God be as big as what God wants to be, then I'm going to tell you right now, God will be really big, and he'll be really big in ways that you may not have realized he had the ability to do. But when I saw that, I was just fired up. Like,
Elon Musk, yes, Dusty, that's
thank
what
you,
it is.
Dusty. Anyways, back to the subject. I don't know how I got way over there. But thank you for giving me the man's name.
Yeah.
And I don't know which of you said, Lord, help him focus because you're focused.
We'll be able to sleep tonight.
Huh? Elon Musk. As you can tell, I'm not a real big news watcher because I should have had his name a lot easier than that myself. All right. But here's what we're going to do. I'm going to lead us in a bunch of scriptures that is about the last week of Jesus' life. Last week, sort of. Everybody say sort of.
Sort of.
Yeah.
On the third.
Yeah. I love history. And really, I really want to go to the Holy Land. How many of you like to go to the Holy Land?
Amen. We all would.
I really want to go to the Holy Land. Now, I'm working on something here that I'm looking at the camera, so everybody just stick with me for a minute. Because I'd love to be able to see it with your own eyes. Now, Sister Francetta found something other on her TV doing something that showed you the Holy Land. And that's cool because you can see it, and the person's occurring and everything. But I really I want my feet in the dirt.
Yeah.
Like I said to you during the read the words, I want to get on a four-wheeler and go run all the boundaries of all the 12 tribes.
Yeah.
Now, you're going to find, you know, Hezbollah. You're going to find ISIS. You're going to find the Iranians. And you're going to find all them folks in there. So that's probably not a very wise thing to do. You know, you just pull up to Hezbollah camp and say, oh, wait, hey, we're just checking out the borders. That's all. You guys got some, you know, like any weenies for supper or something? I'm hungry. He'd be like, no, we're not going to ask us for beanies, that's for sure. Well, no, that's a good question. Fred France has asked. If you truly went to the border that God set up for the 12 tribes, that includes Iran, that includes Iraq, that includes Jordan, that's going to include Lebanon, Syria, that's going to include a whole bunch of nations that might not want you in there with a four-wheeler running around. And they have weapons saying, I shoot you. And we say, no. Please do not shoot me.
That's not Israel.
That's not Israel now in what would be considered their land. That is Israel in God's mind. They have been forced to give up their territory. And it is not God, but that's just stupid man doing what stupid man does. Well, that's what they're saying. But when they make them give up the Golan Heights, that's when the rapture happens and we all go to heaven. So, you know, I encourage you to be bold in your prayers, but most of all say, do it, Jesus, even so come quickly. Amen. Because here we go. Now, let's get to the Word of God. Man, I could tell tonight could be like an 8-hour session. I can tell right now.
We can start YouTube.
Yes, we must start YouTube. Because I can tell right now, all y'all got enough questions. I got enough answers in the Word that we could cover every subject in one session. Not really, but it'd be close.
I was gonna say.
All right, so tonight we're going to talk about Jesus in his last months on earth. All right. Now, this is a pretty cool story. All right. So you're going to need your Bible because I can't put it up on the screen for you to see. Although I would really love to show you this picture I have in my Bible. Well, watch. I'll show it to you. See if I can keep all my stuff following. Can you see that picture?
Yeah.
Jesus
in his last month.
In his last month gives you a map, gives you some pretty cool stories, and it shows you Jesus in his last days, and that's a picture of Jerusalem. You can see the temple right here by my finger.
Yeah.
All right? That's what it looked like then. That's what was going on. I just can't hold it up all night so I can show you that like that. But that's why I encourage you to get one of these Thompson chains, because all of this is in the back of the Bible. It's not got commentary. It's just got pictures, maps, and verses. And I like that because it lets us truly study the Bible without somebody's doctrinal opinion.
Yeah.
So from this page, let's turn to John chapter 10. No, get there. John, I think it's 12. John chapter 12.
Hi, Gail.
Gail Blunt, welcome. Good to have you, ma'am. Our viewers on YouTube, it's good to have you with us tonight. Thank you for always being there and and being a part of this. You know,
Sunday night,
Geysers over there, our viewers on Blog Talk Radio, our viewers on YouTube, Facebook, all y'all welcome from wherever you are. Now watch this. John chapter 10. Hold on.
All right, we're holding.
I know you didn't have any other choice, but I really need you to just hold on. And don't get yourself all worked up here.
We're trying to hold it together here.
All right. So let me give you a couple notes you can write down. In the last months of Jesus' life, we go all the way from Luke 13 to the end of the book. So, that's clear to 22, chapter 22. So there's a major portion of what Luke taught in the Bible, in his book, that was from the end, the last month of Jesus' life. In the book of John, we go all the way from John chapter 10 and the anointing at Bethany, and that's the last month. Half of the book of John is the last month of Jesus' life. In the book of Matthew, we go from Matthew chapter 19 all the way to the book, end of the book. And in the book of Mark, we're going to go from chapter 10 all the way to chapter 16. So, now, why am I telling you all that? Because it's important to see that the Holy Spirit helped these men to truly focus on Jesus' sacrifice that he made. Now think about this. Any man could die. Billions have died. Any man could suffer the cat of nine tails. I said that the other night.
Yeah.
And thousands probably did. Who knows how many the Romans actually crucified on a cross, because that was one of their main forms of punishment. But when you look at Jesus' life, he was the sinless example for you and I. Now, so let's go to John 10:10. That's really where I'm trying to get to. John 10:10. And this is Jesus talking about the good shepherd, being the good shepherd. And the whole chapter is about talking about, I'm the shepherd, my sheep know me. But I want to focus on verse 10. Now, if you're reading the New King James or the King James, they're going to put the double negatives in there. But I'm going to take the double negatives out because it makes it confusing to have them in. Now listen. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Hey, Dave Villiard's with us. Welcome, Dave.
Hi, Dave.
Good to see you, brother. God bless you, man. We're missing you guys. Just go over and knock on the door or something. Ring the doorbell thing. Just say hi up in our apartment for us. The thief comes.
Water the plants while you're there.
Yeah, water the plants. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. All right? That's the enemy. That's Satan. That's demonic powers. But they're all defeated. They don't have enough power to kill and destroy you because God stripped him of it. Now look what it says. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, when you begin to look at this, if you're not careful with the double negatives of the King James, it'll say the thief does not come. Well, yes, he does. I mean, I'm reading it to you right out of the Bible. The thief does not come. If you miss the word accept, you'll think the thief doesn't come to steal and kill and destroy, but Jesus did. Well, no, it's not the case. And you might say, well, Pastor, nobody's ever been that confused. Oh, yes, they have. I've had to help people be unconfused by this. But this is what I want you to see. Jesus came to crush the power of our enemy. And he did. Everybody say it. And he did. And he did. He crushed it.
He did.
He did not give him the ability. So Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So that means Jesus had to die. He had to allow Satan or man to kill him. Well, actually, he said to Pilate, you're not killing me. I'm giving my life.
Amen.
All right. So he had to surrender his life so that you and I could have the victory that we have today.
Thank
Otherwise,
you
don't have it. Now, go with me real quick to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. So everything in Jesus' life, from the prophecy that happened in the garden, Genesis chapter 3, verse 14 through 16, from that prophecy all the way till Jesus ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand by the Father, all of that is redemption's work. It's not just Jesus was born. That's beautiful. It's not Jesus grew up. That was beautiful. Not that he was lost in the temple. That's pretty amazing. It's not that he started his ministry, turned the water to wine, healed all of them, all the people that were sick in many different meetings. It's not that he rebuked the scribes and Pharisees. It's that all of that worked together for you and me, the answers that we need in our life. Did I give you all the verses or one? Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Well, let's read this. This is about Jesus' redemptive work. Everybody?
He needs to start some more crushing. It's out of hand at the moment. Yeah, amen.
Yes. He needs to start some more crushing because it is out of hand at the moment. And that's why a minute ago I said, May judgment start in the church. If the church is really messed up, it's like that pastor in Chicago of that church that is actually fasting whiteness. They're actually, for Lent, they've actually fasted being white, except they're all white. I mean, how stupid can you actually get and still breathe?
And what an insult to God. He's made them his children as they are, and now they're going
to... And they're doing it, so we're not racist, except you just was racist against the white race.
Yeah.
Why don't you just drop it and just let us all be red and white?
Yeah.
We are precious in his sight.
Amen.
It's real simple.
Amen.
You learned it in Sunday school, but maybe you didn't go there. Who got me on this subject? You got me all worked up.
I think it was Dusty.
It was Dusty. I'm telling you right now. I heard that and I thought, I heard Andrew Walmack talking. How stupid can you be and still breathe?
Yeah.
You can be pretty stupid and still breathe. Just look around.
Apparently you can.
You can be really stupid. I'm back to my verses here that I'm trying to read. I'm off that subject now. I'm really trying to be off of that subject now. I'm really, really trying. Wait a second. Hold on. I clicked the wrong thing and I got the wrong person up here. Everybody just relax. I know where I'm at.
We're okay.
Are you all right?
Yeah, it is genuinely sad. It's really, really sad.
Wrong person up here. Wait,
Oh, and now they're talking too, repeating after you.
Okay, I'm almost there. Jeez. My goodness, just don't be flipping your mouse around, all right? You got to be paying attention to what you're doing. Woo! Jesus, help me. Now, I am in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit who wrote this Bible is saying, I want you to have the mind of Christ. Yeah, you are. You're supposed to have his mind. Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, because he is equal with God. But he made himself. That means Jesus had to go through the work of making himself become of no reputation like you and I, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of man. He literally had to make himself into a man and then force himself to stay and be a man. Now, you might say, well, that's impossible, Pastor. It's not impossible. He did it. Why? Because he had to be a man and face sin as a man so that he could look at you and I and say, you can make it. That's what the whole Holy Week is about. I came, I fulfilled my assignment on this earth, I died the most horrible death so that you don't have to have any of that junk in your life, and I did it all for you, and I'm going to show you you can do it all just like I did. Empowered by the Holy Spirit. Let's keep reading. Verse 8, Philippians 2:8. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, the death of the cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him and gave him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, which you and I get to use, every knee should bow. Want to say it with me? COVID, bow your knee to Jesus.
COVID, bow your knee.
See, at me and you using Jesus' name, COVID has to bow. Ready? Say it with me. Cancer, bow. Fear, bow to Jesus' name. Ready? I'm not going to say nobody's names. You fill in your own. But treason in the United States of America, bow to Jesus' name and get out of our government. In the mighty name of Jesus. Verse 9. God highly exalted him, gave him the name which is above every name. That the name of Jesus, every knee would bow and every tongue confess, you know, of those in heaven and those on the earth and those under the earth. And that every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Watch this. So Jesus had to suffer all of this suffering on the last days as part of what he had to go through. Everybody pause for a second. I'm missing the chat over here with the Zoomers for some reason. Now watch. Amen. Man-made virus created for evil reasons. Amen. All right, let's go back here and we'll pull up our picture again. And let's deal with this. This is in the last month of Jesus' life. We preached and we were teaching on this the other night. Luke chapter 11. And that's verses 1 through 54. That's the story of Lazarus being raised from the dead. That happened in the last of Jesus' life. Lazarus was raised from the dead. As soon as Jesus raised him from the dead, they tried killing Jesus, and they tried killing Lazarus. Jesus said to go away, and he had to go out into Ephraim so that they would leave him alone and they wouldn't kill him. Why? Because when he raised Lazarus from the dead, Everybody heard about that.
Yeah.
That is such an amazing miracle when it happens that it spreads everywhere. I love the story of Smith Wigglesworth in the 1900s, where he was in Africa, and one of his main men in England died, and he was on a mission trip, and he died in England, and somehow somebody got word to him. Now, in the day he lived, somebody getting word to him in that past of time, that was something. And then he got on a plane, or he got on a something, and got back there. Now, watch this. He walked into the funeral home where they had him laid out. And he grabbed him right out of the casket and said, "It is not your time to die." Threw him up against the wall and said, "Testify the good things of God." I know some of you are freaking out right now. Don't freak. Just listen. He fell down. He picked him back up, threw him against the wall and said, "I said, testify of the glory of God." And the third time when it happened, the guy came back from heaven and said, "Smith, what are we doing here in the funeral home?" And they're like, "Well, you died. And you've been dead for 3 days." Now, you might say, "Well, Pastor, you can't prove that." No, but I can prove the one by Brother Reinhard Bonnke from Africa, preaching a message about, "I've come to give life and life more abundantly." And they brought a man in an ambulance who was dead for 4 days, already been embalmed. And his wife would not give up on her husband was going to live. You can go see the video, though. This is on YouTube, all right? Brother Reinhard Bonnke saw many, many people raised from the dead in his ministry. And literally, the man comes back to life right during that sermon and goes back, and they take a camera, and they go back, and they see the guy that embalms him, and he's like shaking. He's like, "Whoa!" But see, Jesus said to the disciples before he died, Jesus told the disciples, "Heal the sick, cast out demons, and raise the dead." They were raising people from the dead before they were ever born again in the deputization of Jesus. I know I'm preaching. I'm supposed to just be giving you a step-by-step process of Jesus' life. But see, that miracle of Lazarus being raised from the dead, when it says that Jesus wept, it wasn't because his heart was broken. He knew all along he was going to raise him from the dead. So he wasn't crying because he died. He was crying. He wept because the people did not understand what was going on, and that God was going to bring them that great victory. I'm telling you. It's cool. I love this day. What an interesting word. What an interesting word to have somebody say to me while I'm preaching, "Send it." But listen, I know what you're saying. So, in the last month, you have Jesus. Now, let's grab one verse out of that. What was that reference? Luke, or John 11? Is that my last reference, John 11?
No, Luke 11.
Luke 11. That's what I meant. You guys should have known that's what I meant.
Was that where you're going to, Luke 11?
Yeah, the connection's not working.
Are you on YouTube, Francetta?
No, I'm on Facebook. That's Facebook? Okay.
All right, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, I can't.
On my end, it looks like everything's fine.
Yeah.
I've not seen any messages that said it's not working. I told you to go to Luke 11.
Sunday said YouTube isn't working right.
Okay, if I told you to go to Luke 11, that's a good chapter, but that's not where we're going.
All right.
We're going to John chapter 11, and all y'all should have known that.
Be good in Michigan.
Here we go. Good in Michigan. I love it. I just love all our folks. I love all y'all that's here. Julie Rouse, it's good to see you. I hope Brother Ray's with you. Love you, Ray. I'm fixing to come hug your neck, kiss you right on the cheek.
I don't see either of you, but I'm
he's shaking his fist at me right now. I know him. But let's go this. Let's go to I'm in John 11. We're going to 45.
Great.
A lot to get that out. Look what time it is already. I hope you guys are ready to just hang out for a while.
45 to what?
Well, yeah, it's just the rest of the chapter. 45 to 57 is the reference. John 11:45. Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did believed in him. Some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things that Jesus did. You always got to watch for a narc in the group. Wait, let me see. That might not be a good way to say it. You always got to watch for someone the enemy stuck inside the group to make a mess.
The wolf.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, I'm going to speak life right now. I speak life into that situation with John and that whole church and that whole disciplinary thing.
Yeah.
I speak life into it because this is designed to expose and destroy. And we speak life right now for those people. Lord, help them go through their whole system and make it very biblically accurate and very much to have the proper process happening. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. All right, verse 45. Many of the Jews had come. We already read that. 47. The chief priests and the Pharisees gathered a council and said, what shall we do? For this man works many signs. If we let him alone like this, everyone will believe in him. And the Romans will come and take away our place and our nation. Do you know why they were doing what they were doing? Because they were worried about their own life. They were trying to build their own kingdom. And they were doing it on the back of religion.
Well, they kind of just got Jesus in the way.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, and he was drawing such great crowds. And when the crowd got together, he healed them all. And none of them could do that. And they didn't like it. They're throwing a wrench in their spirits, their ecclesiastical gear because they couldn't do it. Verse 51, now this he did not say on his own authority, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation. And not for that nation only, but that he would gather together in the children of God who were scattered abroad. Now, that day on, they plotted to put him to death. Therefore, Jesus no longer walked openly among the Jews, but went from there into the country near the wilderness to a city called Ephraim. And there he remained with his disciples. Now look at verse 55. And the Passover of the Jews was near. That gives you a date of this chapter, because this is the last Passover. So this is the Passover of Holy Week, when Jesus is going to experience the Passover with his disciples for the last time. And in actuality, even though we've just come through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and the Passover is so important in the Old Testament, when they took the bread and the grape juice, Jesus instituted the new covenant. And that was the end of the Passover. It never needed to be done again. The veil of the temple, when Jesus said it's finished and died, the veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. And that veil was, I think it was 9 inches thick. And it was ripped from the top to the bottom. Now, you know what that means? That means the threads were torn in a way that everybody had to stand there and look at it and say, that veil was ripped from the top to the bottom. Nobody but God did that. And there's no way they could stop that word from going.
Amen.
So verse 55 identifies this chapter as Jesus is now headed into the Passover. Let's read it. And many went from the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. That doesn't mean they were taking a shower. These were already the most washingest people you ever met. Right? But that meant to offer the sacrifice that they had to offer. You know, whether it was the bull, the goat, the ram, whatever it is, they all had to do that because that's what it took to be right with God. Now let's keep going. And the Passover, I'm in 56. Then they sought Jesus and spoke among themselves as they stood in the temple. What do you think, that he will not come to the feast? Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a command that if anyone knew where he was, he should report it, that they might seize him. And little do they know, but Jesus is going to offer himself to them. And we'll get there, but I want to mention it right now because it's one of my favorite parts. They sent a whole platoon of an army. They sent a whole army to get Jesus in the garden. And I love it because Jesus said, whom do you seek? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And when he said, I am he, they all went out in the Holy Ghost. They all were slain in the spirit right there. Can you imagine what they did when they got up off the ground? Like, oh, my Lord. He just spoke. And how are we going to take him a captive? And yet Jesus offered himself because that's what he had to do. John chapter 12. Now, we get the story of the woman who is going to anoint Jesus in Bethany. All right? So, we go from Lazarus, and now we're going to the story of Jesus being anointed in Bethany. He's anointed for his death, and you can find that in Matthew chapter 26 and in Mark chapter 14. Also, he goes in, let's just read it, John 12. Then 6 days before the Passover, this is 12, 1 through 8. Actually, 1 through 11. Sorry about that. 1 through 11. 1 through 8 is fine too, you can leave. 6 days before the Passover. So, now you're seeing we were all Sunday because Passover started on Saturday. Following me? I'm going to mess up some of your Good Fridays because you're going to be like, you didn't just say that, Pastor. Well, yeah, I did. Just do the math. Here we go. Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he raised. They made him a supper. Martha served. But Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary, Martha's sister, took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. You watching this? Watch this. Verse 4, one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, why was this oil not sold, put into the treasury Yeah. Sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor. Religious people always want to look good and do something for the poor, but they don't want to help the poor be poor no more. Giving a hand out never is going to do anything but just feed them for that moment. Giving them a hand up by revelation is what every community needs. When you know the truth sets you free. Verse 6, then he said, not that he cared for the poor, because he was, and he had Jesus' money box, and he used to take what was put in it, and Jesus knew it. Jesus looked at him and said, leave her alone. Remember, he's speaking the words that come from God, because Jesus said, I only say what I hear my Father say. So what did the Father say? Leave her alone. She did this for my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not always have. And then they said, well, then let's kill Lazarus too. All right, look at verse 12. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Well, that's tomorrow's work. So I'm going to leave that for tomorrow. All right. But now let's look at this. I want you to see this.
Why did they want to put Lazarus to death?
Because they were mean religious people.
And Jesus brought him to life.
Well, Jesus brought him to life, and everywhere he walked, he was a living testimony of the fact that Jesus was performing miracles that the religious leaders could not perform.
Yeah.
And they hated that fact that they could not do what Jesus did. But it's no different than today.
No,
there's religious people today that would just as soon kill God's leaders. I mean, you can see it right on the... There was no more gracious leader in the kingdom than Billy Joe Daugherty from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Had a powerful church and responsible for millions of people coming to God. And that man, during a healing line where people are totally being healed, breaks through the line and punches him right in the face during a church service. Because people are full of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're full of the devil, you are going to do whatever the devil tells you to do. And you'll do it in the name of religion. Because when you don't have enough guts inside of you to tell the devil, sit down, shut up, and get out of my life, then you'll end up giving him power. Somebody say, no power from me.
No power from me. Amen.
Now, in the last month of Jesus' life, I want you to listen to all of the teachings that he taught. All right?
Mm-hmm.
This is the last month of Jesus' life. He taught, well, the woman was healed of a sickness, the discourse on the number of people that would actually be saved, the parable rebuking the place seekers, the parable of the big dinner. The man made a dinner, invited all the guests. The discourse on counting the cost. Jesus said, any man that's going to follow me, let him take up his cross, follow after me. What would the profit of a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? All of these is in the last 30 days of Jesus' life. All of these is pretty much in one setting. The parable of the lost sheep and the prodigal son. What were those showing? No matter what, Jesus is going to receive anybody that comes. Remember the story of the lost sheep? Jesus is seeking the lost sheep. He'll leave the 99 and go out and find the one and rejoice. It says there's more rejoicing in heaven over a lost sheep that is found than there actually is of all the sheep that's actually in the fold. because we found the lost sheep. Same thing with the lost coin. They lost the coin and then found it. And the same thing with the prodigal son. When that prodigal son turned and began to, the father was already looking for him to head for the house. So when the prodigal son was a long way off in his understanding of being the heir of God and joined there with Jesus, and that he was an heir the whole time and he didn't need to be a servant, the father ran to him, put shoes on his feet, put a ring on his hand, put the robe of righteousness on him and said, I don't want you to be my servant. I want you to be my son. It's all in the last month of Jesus' life. The parable of the unjust steward who was given a gift and he did nothing with it. And he hid his gift and it was taken from him. The one that had the most gifts. The most, had done the most with it.
Yeah.
I know, man. You start getting into this, it's like, woo, Jesus, I got one. But to every one of us that have been born again, God in no way is in going to belittle you or condemn you. He treats you like his son.
Yes. Yes.
A good son. And everything he's trying to do is to grow you and develop you and establish you as an heir to everything that's yours. You are an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. The lost sheep throw you under the bus and don't want your help. Well, I suppose you just let them stay in the pickers till the pickers get the best of them, and then when they cry out, you go find them. Probably the case. Did I, Kathy, have a question?
What happened? She said, what happened? Yeah, what was that about? I was going to type that in there and got four verses in and forgot.
And I saw something and missed it, but.
You guys were talking about some trust. Not the one in Oak Park, Illinois, but something else. It's a story that's going on.
I don't know the story, so I don't know what to tell you. The story I was talking about with the man with the kid. Yeah, the Christian school.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was Sister Phyllis's son, and they got a situation going on in their school, which is a very severe situation. And, the only thing you can do, guys, is to pray for God to give him strength and wisdom, because they're going to shake
it in order.
They're going to shake that thing is to pieces in every way. And you and I have to stand beside of them and say, Lord, help them get it right. Let me say this about that, and then we'll move back into the story of Jesus.
Yeah, Lord, get it right.
Now,
yeah,
when
yeah,
anytime, right. And I've seen this over and over in the church, in my time in the church, which is my whole life, but a Christian school is a very serious process, all right? I went to one, so I know. I have personal experience with this, okay? The challenge that Christian schools face is that pretty much everybody that goes to that school is going to go to the same church together, which leads to a very severe situation. And the enemy is going to test it to the core and oppose it because they're getting a Christian education, and the enemy don't want anybody to have that education. And one of the biggest challenges you ever face is how to deal with discipline, because most Christians believe that God put some padding on the backside of a kid's butt so you could spank him. I agree with that, but I do not agree with beating a kid. That's wrong. You don't beat a kid. You punish them. You might spank them, but God put padding back there on the backside on purpose to get you to hit the right spot. Now, I know parents are angry and parents are frustrated, and if you're going to discipline your kids, you better walk. If you're angry, you better walk away. Get yourself in order, or you're going to do some abusing to your children in the discipline and not be doing the discipline. Now, please, I need everybody to pay attention for a minute. Nobody say anything right now, okay? Now, I say this over and over, and sometimes when I say it, then people just open their mouth and say something about their life. I don't want anybody to say anything about your personal life right now, okay? If you slap a kid in the face, you are a messed up parent. If you punch your kid in the mouth, you are a messed up parent. And mm-hmm. Now, just give me a second. Now I'm going to put a little more force to what I'm saying. Because what you say to that kid is what you think, and your words are not important. Now, well, Pastor, he's wrong. Well, I know he's wrong. But slapping their mouth teaches them to shut up. Your words aren't important. And there's no padding on the mouth. That doesn't belong there. I understand. Kids do wrong, and parents do wrong. And if you've done wrong, then repent. And ask God to heal the child that you did wrong with. I don't have no judgment, but it's one of the things that happens. Everybody grows up with a different form of discipline. That's why it becomes so difficult in a Christian school like this situation with John. Because if you got, you know, let's say, what did they say, 200 kids? So that probably represents about 3 kids a family. So you're probably talking about 100 families, maybe 75, 80 families. There's a lot of different disciplinary processes that are represented there. And I know from going to the school I went to, that discipline was a very severe, it was a very difficult process to do. And the challenge is when you've done wrong, you got to say it. You just have to say it. Because if you don't say it, even you and I, and I'm going to get off this in just a minute, maybe not. Maybe the rest of our session is going to be how to discipline your kids properly. Because this one ticks me off. This one really ticks me off when I see something wrong to their children. Now watch. Everybody just listen. When a child does wrong, they must be disciplined. But what are we trying to do? Whip them? Beat them? Which is what many people said. Or are we trying to disciple them in the ways of the Lord by disciplining them according to the word? Think about this. What does every child need to be trained from word go, word number one? You got to be trained. You've got to grow up and be an adult. I know you're 5. Take responsibility for your action. Admit what you did. Receive your punishment. But most of all, change your attitude. And learn now to change your attitude. But many parents, because they were angry, wanted to beat their kid. I grew up in a day when the church said, in order to be a good parent, you had to be a strong disciplinarian. Bull. You beat your kid and it's wrong.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Okay. Is this someone that's a school hit him?
No. Nobody at the school hit him. But the process was you put a piece of tape over their lips.
Oh.
Well, whatever they did. here's the thing. I could name you 20 people that's done that. All right?
Not right.
But that's you doing what you're doing in your home, and you will have to give an account of that to God. All right? Oh, my goodness, Jesus, help me. I'm going to have to get off the subject because I'm not going to go down the wrong path with this. I just stopped for a minute to say, God help John. Now watch. What we see is every person, every man, every woman, every child, every boy, every girl is going to have to stand before God. So we as the adult must be a representative to that child as an example of God. And God does not beat his kids. God disciplines them. God corrects them. But most of all, God guides his children in a way that they can grow and develop and be established. And what ends up happening is, by the discipline processes of people of our past, we discipline children in a way they shouldn't be done.
Yeah.
And so I don't get way off on this, because that's not my message today, although it is going to be a message straight out of God's word to help. But I want you to get this first, because we've got to support, we've got to pray for John and for that whole church, because they're in a, that's going to be a serious deal. I mean, he went to jail. He went to jail. I mean, how serious this is.
I was laughing at Gail, not when he went to jail.
Now watch. Everybody listen. Let's get it focused. We're going to Peter. Chapter 3, verse 7. I want you to open your Bible, and I want you to see this, because it doesn't matter about Sam's opinion, and it doesn't matter about your opinion. It matters what this book says. There's a whole lot of people with opinions. My generation, they had the opinion of strong disciplinarian, and it beat the fire out of them. Took a whip to them, took a belt to them, took a club to them. And that's wrong. That's wrong. That's wrong. If a man wants to wrap somebody's head with tape, your kid, I guess that's up. There's nothing about that that's going to turn into the discipleship process. I want everybody to hear the word. Discipline is supposed to be the word disciple, which means grow and develop and be established and come to an understanding of God. Look at this verse. 1 Peter 3:7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them, your wives, with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. I'm not talking about husbands and wife. Watch. As being heirs together of the grace of life. If you're going to teach your kid that he needs Jesus in his life when he's three, then you have to say of that child, he is an heir together of the grace of life now. Therefore, I must teach him and train him as the Father is teaching and training me all the days of his life. Why? Because he's an heir of the grace of life, even as a child. And I know people say, well, no, they just got a stinking little mouth, and I'm going to slap it every time he gets out of order. No, you are out of order. That's out of order. Slap a kid's mouth, you teach him your words are not important. And that's out of order. They'll learn to hate you. I have a very, very professional son who's 23. All right. 5 years old, I said to him, Joshua, I don't ever have to give you another whipping the rest of your life. And he's like, I like that, Dad. And here's why I don't. Because I'm going to correct you every time you're wrong, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to change your mind. Accept their correction and do the right thing. And you know what? He did. Maybe one time after that, I had to discipline him in a manner like that. Why? Because I treated him as if he was an heir to the grace of life that I'm an heir to. Because if I don't want him to be a servant his whole life, I'm going to have to treat him like an heir. And if I have to treat, since I'm going to treat him like an heir, I've got to begin at the earliest age to teach him, accept responsibility for your actions. And that's not beating him with a stick. That's when you do wrong. You know what? He learned immediately. There's days I would have to say, wait, you better go to your bedroom and change your attitude. Thank you, Dad. He'd go to the bedroom. 5 minutes, 10 minutes. When he got to his teen years, he came out. 20 minutes later, the older you get, the more you have your own opinion. But today, very advanced, very professional, very intelligent, and very much understands the grace of life. I've got to be responsible for my own actions. Now, I said that because the other night we prayed. I'm saying it right now tonight because everything about that church is now going to be shaken severely. And and it needs to be. And it's a sad thing that this wasn't seen before. Here's what we got to do. You got to deal with it. Pause just then. Now, got real quiet in the middle of my teaching about Jesus. Okay? See, the answer for every one of us is we've got to admit when we've done wrong. We got to accept our responsibility for doing wrong. And then we got to make right what we've done wrong. And the fact that they came and took him to jail, now you've got to deal with that whole thing. So let's say it one more time. Father, in Jesus' name, help John, Pastor John, help the whole church. Help every one of them to come to the understanding of everything that's in this, Father. I pray this in your mighty name. And Lord, we pray for wisdom beyond their years that they don't even know about. May it come to them. May gospel leaders surround them and lead them into the path of righteousness for your namesake, so that this thing, not only does it never happen again, but that it is dealt with properly, and that, of course, the gospel is not closed, and the name of Jesus is continually lifted up in this community, and great understanding comes right out of the story of Easter. Some people say, how can you always bring everything right back into it? Because I have the Holy Spirit of God inside of me. Right out of the story of Easter, we can see how people who do wrong, look at Judas. He's like, wow, that shouldn't be like that. You should sell that, and I should get the money for it. We should go feed the poor. I'm going to tell you right now, you and I, from this point to the end when Jesus comes, we're going to have to deal with these religious people, and they're going to be all around us. And that's why everything that you and I do must come straight out of this book. And we must have everything in our life based in the Word of God. Why do you think I say I got another verse for that? Because I want to give more verses? No. I want us to be so stable and so solid in God's holy word that there can be, no matter what fiery dart the enemy sends our way, we always move in the proper process and we drive the enemy off and we win in the battle every single time. But I'm going to tell you right now, that's going to be a very, very specific process for every single one of us that we're going to have to live through. And I've been a part of some pretty severe wrong discipline in my life then. And when I confronted some of them, said, that's wrong. And what? It's wrong. And what you're doing is wrong, and you know you're wrong. Guess what? That didn't make for a very, very fun religious situation. But I was old enough to see what was going on and say, no, that's not right. Which is why now I'm looking at it saying, no, this is not right. And I'm also saying, you and I are going to do what's right, and that's going to be because we got our face in this book saying, Jesus, help me be like you. Listen to this statement. How does Jesus discipline you? Does he slap you in the face? Does he break your arm? Does he beat you? No. See, that's where the doctrine of the church comes in that says that God will make you sick so he can teach you something. No. John chapter 14, verse 26 says, you have the Holy Spirit who is your teacher on the inside of you. So the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. See, all of a sudden, what we're having to do is we're having to come to another level of understanding, saying, wait a minute, I've been trained many things in my lifetime that were not of God, and they were spoken from a religious point of view, and they were wrong. But it doesn't matter. When you see what's right, go to the right and let go of the wrong. When you see the word, go to the word and stay out of the get out of the other stuff. See, all of a sudden, what we're doing is we're not doing this for just a cute little religious thing. It's in Sunday morning church. This is, wait a minute, this is a reality of life, and we've got to get it right. Because when you are, listen to this statement. Well, I don't want you to listen. I'm going to just turn there myself, going there right now, Jesus, so that nobody can point a finger and say, Pastor, you gave us your opinion. Let's go to the verse where Jesus said, I think it's Matthew chapter 12, where Jesus said, a long walk on a short pier, millstone, yeah. Matthew 18. Matthew 18. Matthew 18. Just in case some of you are like, wow, wait, Pastor, I don't necessarily agree with you. You don't have to worry about agreeing with me. You better agree with this book. This book is what you're going to agree with. When you stand before Jesus, he's not going to ask you what you thought about me. He's going to ask you what you did with this book. Now watch this. This is one of those that's in the last teachings of Jesus. Now, let's read Matthew 18, and we're going to read 1 through 9. Now, 1 through... Yeah, we probably will. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, plural, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. Verse 6, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. How are you using this verse, Pastor? Well, if you and I do not teach and treat our children properly, we will be the ones that causes them to sin. And when you go to the teachings of Paul, Paul said, do not, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. What does that mean? That means it is possible for a father to provoke his children to wrath. And if you're going to be like your father, which is in heaven, you're going to have to treat your child like an heir of the grace of life, unless, of course, you're only going to do that when they reach 12 or 13. But I got a word for you in the day we live. You better start now, because they're teaching the 6 and 7-year-olds they can choose what sex they're going to be. As an heir of the grace of life, just like you. Not someday in the future, but right now. Now, Jesus said, long walk, short pier, heavy weight, deep water. For anyone who causes one of these little children to stumble. I know by the manner of my teaching tonight that there's some of you going, oh my Lord, have I done wrong? I know. There was a day I had to look at myself and say I've done wrong. But there's nothing you can do about what you did except put the blood of Jesus on it, the name of Jesus on it, and then begin to pray every day for God to restore the years that that action did to take away what should have been added and multiplied rather than taking away.
Amen. Amen.
Listen, there ain't a one of us. I'm not going to make that statement. I'll say it differently. Every single one of us must give our days, our lives, our years to seeing our offspring walk with God. Deuteronomy 28, I'm going to bless the fruit of your body. Well, once you've given birth and you've got fruit of your body, it's now your responsibility to make sure they get to heaven. And then you do like we've done, and now I got to give myself and make sure y'all get to heaven. And you're not even of the fruit of my body. What it comes down to then is our teaching's got to be, wait a minute, I got to treat you like Jesus would treat you. And I know how he treats me. He's not beating me with a club. Not breaking my arm so I'll learn something. How stupid is that? It ain't a wise parent that ever did that. Come here. Johnny, you won't clean your room. I'm going to break your finger. So there ain't a one of us that would agree with that. And yet people say that about God to them all the time. Bad doctrine? Not in the Bible? But it sounds religious. I know some people right now. We've gone a long ways from the last days of Jesus' life, but it must be we need to right now because it's going to help us. I know some people right now who very specifically feel like it is their duty in God to be willing to suffer pain and sickness and disease for him so they can prove how strong God is on the inside of them. Bull, 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 bull. Oni. It's not God. Why did he make Jesus take it if he's going to make you take it too? It's not God. So you got to get out of that. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Say it with me. I got to get my doctrine right out of his holy book.
Out of his holy book, amen.
See, your grandma, my grandpa, your uncle, my aunt, who knows what all their views are about discipline? We better cancel all that view. We better open up this book. And we better do exactly what God's taught us through Jesus. Now, the Old Testament, they stoned their kids in the street for disrespecting them. Right? Mm-hmm. But everything that goes through the cross is either deleted, changed, or deleted, improved, or remains the same. Praise and worship was praise and worship then. It's praise and worship now. However, there's no more animal sacrifice. And we no longer stone our kids in the street because they disrespected us. Right?
Right.
We are teaching and training everyone who's around us that you must walk with God. Well, when do I teach a kid? When he's 12? That's too late in this day. He's already had a phone in his pocket for 2 or 3 years and has every bit of wickedness that could possibly be in this world in his own pocket. And therefore, you had better be teaching that child something before he's 12 years old.
Yeah, he's asking. Amen. Yeah, he's saying, what if it doesn't work and the child is not a good person?
Well, there's not. The only thing you can do is what you can do.
Amen.
That is all you can do. It's what you can do. And the point, this whole situation, the point of what I'm saying to you, this book is not wrong. This book is right. Do what's in this book. I gave you one of the greatest child-rearing verses you could ever use in this book tonight in 1 Peter 3:8. Because if you start treating your children like they're heirs of the grace of life like you are, you're not going to do anything to them that God wouldn't do to you. And may God say to you, if you do something to them out of order, did you ever see me doing that to you? Are you God's children or aren't you? Yeah, we are. And that's why Jesus was always scolding and rebuking the scribes and Pharisees every time they got around him. Why? Because he didn't want the people to life after those men another day. He said to the disciples, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. The disciples thought that Jesus was saying, how come he didn't bring some bread for us to eat? And he had to literally just stop and say, I'm talking to you about the doctrines of the Pharisees that's going to hurt and destroy you. The worst thing you'd ever have to do is go to your children and say, I have treated you improperly in my raising. But if you have, and the Holy Spirit instructs you, then say it to them. Don't be arrogant. Don't be proud. I did it to both of my kids. I said, please forgive me. Because I did wrong. But God, early, wait a minute. Let's get this right. Let's get it right. No matter what the church or Bible colleges or anybody told anybody. I mean, I remember the old days the teachings was, you spare the rod, you're going to spoil the child. Well, that's right out of the Bible. That's right out of the Bible. But that doesn't mean take a club and beat your kid. What was the rod? This is the rod.
Your rod and your staff.
Your rod and your staff, the word of God. The word of God is the rod. They were going to comfort you. If you spare this rod teaching them to be a child of God, then you will spoil the child. Buying them stuff does not spoil them. That's what your father wants to do for you.
Yeah.
That's why so many Christians believe they got to be broke, because they believe that's spoiling a child. No, it's not. Luke chapter 13, the father loves to do good things for his children. He loves to do more things than you're even willing to ask. That's what he said.
He's building mansions for us right now.
See, that's where we got to get all this doctrine out of our hearts and minds that is not matching this book. And that verse I gave out of Peter, which is talking about husbands and wives, literally, it's talking about everybody. And the truth is, that's how God teaches me to help every one of you be a strong believer. I'm going to treat you as an heir of life, the grace of life, because that's who you are. You're growing. You're developing. You're changing. You're maturing. We see it. And we're proud of it. We love it. We're excited about it. Are there some people that we say, I sure wish they'd get it a little faster than what they are? Sure. But what? What, we're going to beat you or drive you out the door? No, see, you can't do that. And that's why you can't do that with the church. You can't do that with your kids. You can't do that with your husband or your wife. They're heirs of the grace of life, and you must treat them in that way, and then you're never going to go wrong. As this gathering of believers, this ecclesia grows, and we get more and more people, there's going to be some rough edges that ground off. You're going to have a brother over there you don't necessarily like, and a sister, you might call her sister mouthy, but it doesn't matter. She might call you that same word. And what are we going to have to do? That's where the church grinds off the rough edges of everybody and helps us all grow up together and be mighty men and women of God who can live and love and work with everybody around us. Now, tomorrow morning, we're going to talk about the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, because that would be the day, actually, in reality, it would have been today. And I always miss that because we celebrated on Sunday, but it would actually have been on that Sabbath. Anyway, but we're going to talk about that tomorrow. So our noon program is going to be on. And we're going to be doing the triumphal entry. And then all throughout this week, we're going to be talking about what's going on in Jesus' life on this day so that you and I get a powerful of what Jesus actually did for us on that last week of his life in Jesus' mighty name. Now, how in the world do you bring all this to a close simply in one verse? I got it. You ready? The Holy Spirit is always with us, and he's always going to help us. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. This is the closing. I'm not going to preach it. I'm just going to read it. Here we go. Verse 15. Therefore, I also, this is Ephesians 1, 15 through 23. After I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So that's me to you. That's Paul to us. Here we go. Verse 17. Ephesians 1, 15 through 23. I'm in verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Everybody pause for just a minute. Yes? You looked as though you were telling me something.
Oh, no. Just listening.
You had that look like I am now sharing something with you. Are you getting it? Which is fine.
Did you?
Just so you know, everybody just pay attention for a minute. You have to learn to be wise to these things so that You are the right thing. I'm going to share my screen here because I want everybody to be able to read. I want us all to read it together. Not everybody has the same reference that I do. So if you look on your screen, is it there? Wow, I'm seriously in the lag. There it is. I'm just pausing till we can get Sister Francetta and Sister Christine on the same screen. Boy, he's way in the lag over there. Here we go. We're going to start right at the top of 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of my understanding being enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints for my life, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward me, because I believe according to the working of his mighty power in my life, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. I am the body of Christ, and we are the fullness of him that fills all in all in Jesus' mighty name. Let's pray. Father, thank you for a wonderful time tonight.
Amen.
Woo! Thank you, Jesus, that the Word of God never fails us. Not one day.
Amen.
Not one day. And right here, right now, today, we declare in the mighty name of Jesus that the blessing adds no sorrow with it, is with everybody tonight. Bless us now, Lord, in this time of communion together. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. And amen, and amen. Whew. Now, I'm looking forward to the night when we have our whole session on child raising right out of the Bible. Woo! And here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 23. For I received from... Everybody get your communion elements. I'm going to stay focused. I am staying focused. Ready? For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Now watch this. That was ending the Passover feast that they had just partaken of. And that was beginning the new covenant worship, which we're doing in our day. Verse 25. In the same manner after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's redemptive work until he comes. let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Ready? We're going to pray the prayer. 1 John 4:17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. If you live by this, you can be bold when you're being judged. Why? Because as he is right now, so are we in this world. Verse 18, perfect love casts out fear and the torment, the trauma that goes with it. Because there is no fear in love. Now, for every one of you that might be with us tonight that's never made Jesus the Lord of your life, we're going to pray the prayer of salvation. It's very important to pray this prayer. I encourage you, pray it with us. Mean it from the depths of your heart, no matter who you are, no matter what nation you're in. If you pray this prayer and mean it, Jesus, come in, then it's going to happen in your life. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
Everybody pray it. I know I need you in my life.
I know I need you in my
life. In every area.
In every area.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
Give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And rose again for me.
And rose again for me.
Put your hands out and say, I receive you into my life right now.
I receive you into my life right now.
All of your love.
All of your love.
All of your mercy.
All of your mercy.
All of your grace.
All of your grace.
All of your righteousness.
All of your righteousness.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy
Spirit.
So
I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful
life. As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Welcome to the kingdom of God. We're glad to have you here with us. You might say, Pastor, what's going on? I can tell there's people tonight that is, you got stuff happening on the inside of you. This is what's going on. You just changed from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. You just had Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, come in you. You just went from your sin to Jesus' righteousness, and it happened in a 60-second period of time. He's the light of the world. His light fills you. He's the author and finisher of the faith. That faith is now in you. And his righteousness is the righteousness of faith. It's pure. When you receive it, it gives you strength to live for God every day of your life in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. And then the Father adopts you into the family. You are now an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus, and you're now in the family.
Amen.
The thing you got to have is folks like us to teach you the ways of God, and that's what we're here for. That's why we do what we do every single day. Is yeah, very good, Gail. Welcome home. Welcome home. You found the place. And you didn't get a church. You didn't get a denomination. You didn't get religious rules and regulations. You got a relationship with your Father, and you have now been reconciled. And we'll be glad to show you how that works. I have 10 verses I believe are some of the most important verses that you can memorize. Shoot me an email and say, hey, Pastor, let me see those verses. I want to get them in my life. And he'll help you get them down inside your life. We'll be your friend in any way we can. And shoot us an email. Go to the website. You got a family and a wonderful Father. Amen. That's awesome. That's awesome. That's awesome. Now, here we go. Let's receive our communion elements together. Get your communion elements. We'll hold them up and we'll bless them. I declare revelation, knowledge in everybody's life.
Amen.
Amen. Here we go. Pray this with me. I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised.
You were bruised.
For my iniquity.
For my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace.
The chastisement for my
peace. Is upon you, Lord.
Is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes.
And by your stripes.
I am healed.
I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my
in
body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
In my mind, my will, and
nothing
my emotions.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing
broken. Every joint supplied.
Every joint supplying.
In my body.
In my body.
From your body.
From your body.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my
and
community.
Right here in this community.
And right here in this
community. Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty
let's
name.
Let's receive his bread together. Now, we lift up the cup of blessing. Pray this with me. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation.
I have reconciliation.
With you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every sin.
Every sin.
Has been placed in remission.
Has been placed in remission.
In my life.
In my life.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away.
Old things have passed away.
And all things have become
And all things have become new.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I come boldly.
I come boldly.
To the throne room of grace.
To the throne room of grace.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
And the word of my testimony.
And the word of my testimony.
I overcome.
I overcome.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every plague has to pass over. Every plague has to pass
and
over.
Cannot be on me or my family.
And cannot be on me or my family.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be.
And I will always be.
The glorious church.
The glorious church.
Without spot or wrinkle.
Without spot or
when
wrinkle.
When you come for me.
When you come for
in
me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive his bloodshed.
Amen.
I want to sing the blood of Jesus song. The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain and flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. Well, there you go. There you go. There you go. There you go. Tomorrow is Palm Sunday. We're going to be celebrating with Jesus. Hey, thank you, Brother Dusty. I just saw that statement. Love you, brother. Glad you're my brother. And for those of you that's with us on the Zoom, we'll hang out there and talk about this a little bit more afterwards if you want to. And most of all, remember this. Every single time we come here, we're going to the next level in God.
Amen.
I'm going up. You're going up. We're all going up. And ain't a one of us that we're going to leave behind. So don't
Amen.
Jump off the train. Stay on the train. Stay on the train. And keep working for the things of God. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now, our closing verse for tonight, because we're already way late on our time. I like my two verses. The first verse of the Bible is, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the very last verse of the Bible is, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Amen.
And amen. Remember this. We love you.
We love you.
And God loves you.
Loves you.
And Jesus is
the Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God.